had a rather enlightening experience this morning. I was just meditating and suddenly found myself in this place where I could see things that weren't in the room. I was in the midst of this vast arena, but it's not like anything we have in this earth. It was more like, should there be one in heaven? It was like similar to what they had in the time of the Roman Colosseums, you know, where something is taking place down there and there's all these people up in bleachers, except I wasn't aware of being seated. I was just aware that on this side, there was very many of us, countless numbers of people, millions perhaps. They were all behind me. We were watching the scene unfold. On the other side, there was like a veranda. It was similar to a courtroom in that case, you know, where the accused is on one side, then the judge, and except in our court cases, the jury is up here with the judge and everything, but then people that are spectators are over there. Well, if you turn the case around, this is where we were. We were all watching, we were the spectators. There was no jury, we were everything. And then something was taking place down here that I hadn't quite focused on, but my focus was on one individual that was over there, and he wasn't like being judged or accused of anything. He was just there because he had to witness this scene. The rest of us were witnessing him witnessing the scene. And as I look closer, the strangest thing is, and that's when I realized I wasn't in my office anymore, because I knew who that individual was. An individual I've never met, yet I knew who he was. I knew his name, though he lived 6,000 years before I did. It was Adam. I could describe him to you, but that's not the point. The point was that he was there and I knew it was Adam. And we, that is, all of this host of people and me, were on this side watching this take place. Then my focus changed from being on who it was. In other words, once I registered who it was, I was aware of what was happening down here. And what was happening before us was the crucifixion. Jesus first was beaten very terribly. Then he was led up to the cross. Nails put in his hands. I was weeping by then just by watching that. It was really deeply touching me. Then, this is what lets you know you're in the world of the Spirit. I could hear Adam's thoughts audibly, like they're loud enough, like I'm talking to you now. And he was saying, if I hadn't failed, he wouldn't have to be going through this. And I have to stand here and watch this. My rebellion. I could have been the one honored, leading the whole host of the world up into glory. But I failed him. I rebelled and I sinned. And not only did I lose out on being the leader of the host that would guide people to heaven, but I was the one that did this to God. And he had to stand there and watch the whole thing to the last gory end. And I began to feel something really weird happening inside me. By weird, I mean strange, not wrong. I could begin to feel the conviction that he was on, not personally, but I began to feel his pain. And I began to think how terrible it must be, even now, thousands of years later, for this man to realize that because of his actions and decisions, a host of people on the earth are in the condition they are, many going to hell, and then that God himself had to suffer. And he had to watch this, and he was weeping. And you could hear his thoughts, all of them. They were very sad. Then, after feeling his pain, I began to feel the conviction of the Holy Spirit. If you were to have been Adam, you too have rebelled. You too have sinned. And I had this urge, this terrible urge, to go there and tell Adam I knew what he was feeling and that I was really one of him. That I had done this to him too, that he wasn't the only one. So, with just that thought, next thing I know, I'm standing beside him, and I'm no longer looking at this view from this side. I am now with him alone, standing there with him, with my arm around him, telling him this. Now, what I didn't realize is that what my thoughts and what I was whispering to him was heard by all. Because in that world, nothing's hidden. Everybody could hear. And I was telling him, Adam, you didn't do that to him alone. I did that to him too. I failed just like you. And I was just pouring my heart out to him, and we were finding comfort in one another. And I said, if we only had done the right thing, he wouldn't have had to go through all of this. And Christ lied there limp on the cross. By then it was over. Next thing I know, I felt an arm around me. It was my father and others. Next thing I know, all the millions that were over here watching this take place, we were all over there, comforting one another, letting us know you weren't alone. I, like you, disobeyed the Lord. I, like you, sinned. I, like you, disobeyed. I, like you, put him on that cross. None of us made it. Now the millions of us were over there. Nobody was over here watching the scene. Then we all hear these words coming out of a limp, dead body as he began to come to life again. And his words were these: Father, I delight to do your will. It was a pleasure. And suddenly it dawned on all of us that were standing there, every single one of the millions of us that were there, that it was the Father's will that his Son become a human being and not fail. That it was his will that we knew what the love of the Father, how far it would reach, how far it would go. Then he comes off the cross, walks over right to this, whatever you call that, veranda or whatnot, looks up at us and says, none of you took my life. No one can take my life. I gave it. I didn't go to the cross because of you. I went to the cross because it was what my Father assigned for me. That's what I had to go through. That was his plan for me, to make me a human being like all of you and to not fail, because it was his will that I be the leader, that I be the one that he was to honor and glorify. And I have received far more honor and glory than all the gore you ever saw. Come and see me in my glory now. A glory which I wouldn't have if it weren't for you. Then he was transfigured, transformed. And we went into this place of ineffable glory. The power of praise and worship was awesome. Millions of angels honoring and glorifying him, realizing we were the sons of God. It was God's pleasure to make us his sons, and he had no other way to do it. And the choice was ours. We didn't have to make it. But even though we made the wrong choice, God made it all right in the end. And his son was honored and glorified. And no one felt that pain any longer. No one, not even Adam, had to endure forever the grief, the pain of that failure, that mammoth failure. It wasn't even present. All we were ever aware of is his honor, his glory, his power, his dominion, the elevation, the presence of God, the glory of God. Then the next thing I saw is the monitor on my computer. And the scattered papers on my desk. And I sat for a moment in wonderment, thinking, what was that? Sometimes we have to realize that God has a message for us. And that we were yet sinners, he loved us, died for us. We didn't kill him. God doesn't make anybody sin. He doesn't open the door so that people fall. God is so redemptive in his heart. God is so absolutely redemptive in his heart that he can make something beautiful out of something devastating. And even though people take a turn that seems like it's a very nasty, bad turn in their life, who knows how it ended? Don't give up for a minute on God. He had a plan. And then in the end, God can redeem to the uttermost those that come to him through Christ. So Cody and Sean, so Keon and hundreds and thousands of others, so Mr. Miller and Mrs. Miller, so Mrs. Parrott, Missy Parrott and Miss Parrott, and Mrs. Parrott and Mr. Parrott, Missy Goodman and all the other Goodmans, the Beals, the Browns, and all the Bees and the Gales. I have a question for you today. Is there hope for you? I don't doubt what side of the fence we're going to be on when we get there. I can just assure you it's going to be good. It's going to be very good. No one was pointing fingers. We all felt like the culprit. But in the end, he showed me how big he was. How much bigger his plan of redemption was than all our failures. So there's hope in the end. There's definitely hope in the end. Father, I have no clue why it was in your heart to share that while it was fresh. I thought I would share it with your people. I just think sometimes we forget just how marvelous your love really is. How we can go from feeling awestruck to feeling convicted, to feeling elated and our hearts full of praise because of the awesomeness of your wisdom. When Jesus prayed, glorify your Son, Lord, indeed you did, with glory and honor beyond any created being. He is indeed your Son, and with him we have been made also sons and daughters of the Most High God. I praise and give you the glory. My heart erupts into praise. I thank you of the revelation of the cross, and I determined to know nothing among the humans that I live with, and of which I am one, but the cross, the centrality of its cross, the Christ, the King and the Lord. Jesus, thank you. Thank you that you didn't leave an Adam with eternal depression, remorse, conviction, pain, but that you found a way for all of us where we could rejoice and dance and sing and lift up the name of the one who is three times worthy, three times holy and glorious in all his ways. Thank you, Father, because in that will, Jesus came to do your will. That's the will we were talking about when we were singing. You willed our healing. You willed our salvation. You willed our cleansing. It is your will, and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven.